For years, trumpeter Terrence Blanchard has made recordings and led his own jazz band. Since the 1980s, Blanchard has worked in a musical tradition also followed by composers Quincy Jones, Miles Davis, and Duke Ellington. He's written music for the movies. That's from Clockers, the 1995 Spike Lee film. Blanchard, a 38-year-old native of New Orleans, began his film scoring career in the late 80s, working with director Spike Lee, providing the music for nearly all Lee's films, everything from School Days to Malcolm X to the most recent, Bamboozled. While working on film music, Blanchard also continues to perform and make recordings. He'll concentrate on more film scores this fall. He joins us now from New Orleans. Terrence Blanchard, welcome.
Thank you.
One of the things that occurs to me when I think about a composer such as yourself who plays music, who tours, who makes recordings, but writing music for the movies means you have to kind of take a back seat. The music has to take a back seat to the action on the screen. Isn't that kind of hard to do?
Well, at first it was hard. It was something that I had to get used to because, as you say, being a performer, you're used to being out front and actually controlling the pace and the tempo of an entire show. And it's basically based on your emotions at that moment. So you're doing whatever it is you feel like doing. And when it comes to writing film music, you do have to have a large amount of discipline to rally all of those emotions and reel them in and use them at the appropriate time. But I have to say that when you work on a great project, when there's great acting, you know, it all falls into place.
But how does it actually work? Does the director come to you with the script first, or does he talk you through the movie? Do you get clips and then you have to write the music, or what?
Well, generally what happens is I'll get a call from a director and we'll sit down and we'll talk about the film. He'll give me some insight into the story, how he's looking to shoot the thing, what he's looking for in terms of the music, in terms of sound, whether he wants a big orchestral sound, whether they may want small, intimate type of a sound. And frankly, sometimes there are certain films where the music plays a larger role than some normal film scores. And once we have those conversations, I'll get a script, read the script, jot down my own thoughts. And once I see the film with the director, we'll sit down and we'll have a session, what we call a spotting session, where we sit down and actually spot out where the music is going to go scene by scene.
Let's listen to Going to Mecca from Malcolm X. Because this is called Going to Mecca, we would expect to hear a Middle Eastern kind of sound, and we do.
Right.
Did you use actual Middle Eastern instruments?
Oh, yeah. You hear a lute in the back, and you hear the percussion instruments. The whole intent of that particular cue, it's one of those things we were talking about earlier in terms of making a transition in the movie. At this particular point, you know, Malcolm has gone through a lot in his life. You know, we saw him as Red. We saw him go to jail. We saw him make the transition in terms of his personality and finding out what he wanted to do with the spiritual side of his life. And this moment, you know, when he's actually making his Hajj, is a very, very exciting moment for him. It's a light moment. We've been through a lot of heavy moments in the film, and now we're trying to make this transition into another section of his life. So I wanted the music to be, I wanted it to have an uplifting kind of a feeling to it, and also set the table for the arena that we're about to enter into.
Well, this brings up a good point. Are there certain instruments that you associate with certain emotions or certain moods?
Yeah, there are things that I'm prone to use. I love cello. I think cello is probably one of the most beautiful sounds that has been created, you know, for an orchestra. And one of the reasons why I think it hits me that way is because the cello seems to be in the same range or in a similar range as the human voice. So when you hear a cello play a very beautiful melodic line, to me it can be very moving. Alto flute, I love, because it has kind of a haunting sound, but still it can have like a very romantic kind of quality to it, and it doesn't get in the way of dialogue. It really you can put it right up to the picture, right up to dialogue, and you can still hear everything that the person is saying. So I love flute. I love certain combinations of instruments. You know, that's where orchestration comes into play in terms of writing film scores, because one of the things that I really enjoy the most about doing this is that anybody can write a melody, but you really start to create emotions by combining different elements together to create different sounds and textures.
What about some of the jazz composers who have written for films? Quincy Jones, Duke Ellington, mm-hmm. Herbie Hancock. Did you look at what they had done? Did you study that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, when you think about film scoring and jazz, the first thing you think about is Anatomy of a Murder by Duke Ellington. That particular score started a whole movement in film scoring that he didn't get credit for, I think, because there were a lot of films that came after that that had that big band type of sound that people were using in film scores. But Duke seemed to be the guy who really initiated that sound. And one of the things about Quincy Jones, I'm amazed at The Pawnbroker that Quincy wrote. When you listen at that thing, that's his first film score. And that's a very beautiful melody. Intimidated when I found out that that was his first score. I thought it was like maybe his fifth or sixth. So I knew I had a lot of homework to do.
You did music for several Spike Lee films, but really broke through as a composer for his 1991 film, Jungle Fever. Now, how did you come to write music for that film?
It's funny how that whole thing came about, because the theme was actually something that I was working on for my first album. And when we were doing Mo' Better Blues, we took a break from recording the pre-recorded music that the guys were going to sync to in the club scenes. And I sat at the piano and I started playing this thing. And Spike walks out and he goes, "Well, man, what is that?" And I said, "Well, something I'm working on for an album." And he goes, "Well, look, man, I want to use that." And I said, "Okay, fine." So we recorded it just as a solo trumpet piece first. And then he shot the scene with Denzel, you know, on the bridge. And then he says, "You know what, man, can you write an orchestral arrangement for it?" And I said, I lied. I said, "Yeah, of course, no problem." I immediately called my teacher, of course. "Hey, man, look, I don't know what to do." But anyway, I wrote the cue, and that's really how I got into the film business, just from that one particular piece of music.
Seem like a crazy question to ask a composer, but because there are so many great melodies out there, don't you ever just hang your head sometimes and think, how can I come up with anything original?
Well, it works in reverse, I guess. You know, I don't do that beforehand. I do that after I write them. And you write it and you go, because you're moved by something and you sit down and you say, "Oh man, okay, fine." And you come up with a theme and you go, "Have I heard this before?" You start playing it for people. "Come here, come here. Does this sound like anything you've heard before?" So I don't really worry about it too much, because I think I look at it, you know, just like prose. I mean, you know, there's a certain amount of words, a certain limit to the vocabulary that we use daily, but still there are a million stories that are always being told.
Let's move on to Bamboozled. This was the most recent Spike Lee film, and it was very controversial because there were black actors in blackface in the film. Now, what did you say to Spike Lee when he came to you with this proposal?
I said, man, you're crazy.
Because of that premise?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, because I thought that the whole thing was brilliant. You know, I thought it was brilliant. But that, to be brilliant is one thing, but to actually do it is another thing. And, you know, it takes courage. Because the thing you have to remember in making a film, you have to assemble a large number of folks to get this idea that you have in your mind on screen. And that takes a tremendous amount of focus and diligence to be able to maintain your focus throughout the project. So I was just very impressed just by, first of all, the whole notion of what he wanted to do, having the script being very powerful, and to actually see how all of this stuff came together on screen, to me was just totally amazing. It's an uncomfortable film for a lot of people.
So when you wrote music, did you write music that reflected that discomfort?
No, I tried to go totally the opposite way. Because I thought it was already there. It was self-explanatory. I think if the music were to try to do the same thing, it would just be too much. You know, what I tried to do, once again, is to try to uplift, you know, those characters in a certain sense. Because, you know, we've all had those moments, you know, when you think that you're doing what's best, not only for you, but for others, and you start to realize the mistakes that you've made. And that's one of the things that I thought about with Savion's character, you know.
Savion Glover, is that right?
Right. Savion, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was really moved by just the whole notion of his character. Here's a guy who has an amazing talent, and that's all he wants to do is showcase his talent. And he got caught, you know, in a dream. And then he started to realize what was happening with his dream all too late.
Terrence Blanchard, now when you go to the movies just for pleasure, are you really paying attention to the movie or are you listening to the music?
My wife hates to go to movies with me. She hates it. She hates it. I mean, because I'm always listening to stuff, you know, and I go, wow, that's kind of cool. Check out what you did. Or you're like, man, I can't believe you've done that. She's like, well, you just be quiet and just... It's horrible. It's really hard. Or, you know, I start to notice stuff on the screen. Like, man, they have the microphone. It's in the scene. I don't believe they did that. It's really bad. It's really bad.
Terrence Blanchard is a trumpeter, composer, and the new artistic director of the Thelonious Monk Institute at the University of Southern California. He spoke to us from New Orleans. Terrence Blanchard, it's been a real pleasure.
Pleasure's been mine. Thanks a lot. I've enjoyed myself.